Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our epistle lesson this morning, St. Paul declared, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." So, as I was working on this, out of curiosity, I decided to do a quick run on the internet to see what others had to say about what was important to them. I came across many of the typical things you'd expect. Love, family, pets, health. Then I clicked on a link to a forum called The Thinking Atheist. It began with this person's question. "The institution where I used to work has invited me to give a talk about the things that are important to me and why they're important. Among the things I plan to talk about is my atheism, how it developed, why I'm in that camp, what it's been like for me to live a life without faith in a deity or an afterlife, etc. Tone will be crucial. I don't want to come off as, this is the way it is, and if you're intelligent, you'll believe what I believe. The focus should be on what I believe in, what matters to me, and I find that harder to talk about. What I've realized sounds like one huge cliche. The things that are important to me are truth and honesty, beauty and love. That's what it comes down to." And then the writer asked, "What would you say if you were giving this talk? What matters to you and why?" One of the persons who commented wrote, "Autonomy. Being able and empowered to make my own informed decisions, to set my own course in life, to form convictions and ideals and to act on them. Life should be for your own choices, not something you're told to do. And integrity, knowing who I am, thinking, speaking, working, joking from a single point of view. Why is that important? I'm not sure, but I'll think about it." Another person wrote, "I'd focus on truth, critical thinking, honesty, freedom, whatever that means to you." And I thought this one was very poignant. When asked to answer the question, "What matters to you and why?" "My daughter and her health and happiness. A lot goes into these things, but essentially all I could ever ask for would be those. If there were a God, that is what I would pray for every day." St. Peter wrote in his first epistle, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." I have to admit I was rather stunned, because normally when I've talked to folks that are adamantly anti-faith, that's been more of a argument than a discussion. But I was rather surprised that most of the comments in that forum actually seemed to demonstrate what Peter was saying, at least the gentleness and respect part. Sadly, it didn't appear that any of them could answer the original question, "What matters to you and why?" Was answered with, "Whatever that means to you, and why is that important? I'm not sure I'll think about it. And most sadly, of course, if there were a God, that is what I would pray for." In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's great resurrection chapter, he wrote these words, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Paul says that he's passing something on that's of primary importance, something that is foundational for life. If something is of first importance, that means it's the core, the heart, the basis of who you are, what you do, something you can't live without. Whatever that is should give us hope for the future, provide us a reason for living. Paul's answer is that that is Jesus, that he is of first importance. The central truth and core of who we are as children of God is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Nothing else comes close. Yes, family, work, health, love, truth, honesty, those are certainly all important. But of first importance is Jesus. And in particular, his resurrection from the dead. You see, Jesus is the foundation of our lives as Christians. He is why we do what we do. He defines who we are. Every Easter we celebrate why this is true. For 2,000 years, the message that has been handed down to us is, Alleluia! Praise God! Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. But what is it that keeps us coming back to this place week after week? What holds the church together? What is it that keeps us engaged? Jesus. Jesus does. It's not a building, not a pastor, certainly, thank God for that. Not programs. Jesus, alive and active among us. He's what brings us back. We can't live without him. All of our hopes are tied up in him. When you stand in front of a casket and reach out and touch the lifeless body of that one you dearly loved, your hope is grounded in the promise that this is not the end, that there is life after our physical body breathes its last breath, because we have that promise that we will be together again. Paul says in Romans, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And Easter declares that because Jesus himself died and conquered death, we will live again. Not just that Jesus rose from the dead, but that we will rise again eternally and be along with those who have all died in him before us. Jesus is of first importance. His resurrection from the dead is the most important event in history. It changed history. Nothing else compares. He makes family, work, and all the rest of our lives significant and filled with purpose. How did Paul put it? If for this life we have hope only, we are the most pitied of men. But the question for us is, do we live each day with this hope? And once you walk out of this Easter service, will your enthusiasm for Jesus fade? You know, sadly, life can take over and just seem to push Jesus down the list. We can walk through each day barely thinking about him, let alone having him foremost on our minds and hearts. Why? What makes that happen? What makes it seem that he is of so little importance at times? Well, our culture and our world certainly don't help. Every year, it seems some book or movie or magazine article tries to tear down what we believe. Every year, particularly around Easter, some television program comes along and claims they've found Jesus' family tomb with his bones turned to dust in some old box. Newsweek or some other major publication provides discussions from supposed Christian theologians who question whether Jesus actually rose from the dead or not. What God's people have proclaimed for almost 2,000 years is regularly attacked, challenged, or just plain ignored. And unfortunately, all of our problems don't just come from the outside. Even we who come back to this place week after week aren't always focused on Jesus. Sadly, I've heard of congregations where the people of God spend more time arguing about how cold or hot the church was or what color the carpet should have been than speaking about Jesus. Arguments, money troubles, love for a building, or some other distraction become so important that even the redeemed can treat Jesus as of little importance. And as to those hopes that we have in Jesus for eternal life, you know, our doubt, our grief are never far away. On any given day, you can drive down the street, stop at one of the funeral homes, get out of the car and walk in And you'll see bodies in caskets, families in tears. For many, it's just another day of hurt and sorrow. Death's stark reality can bring the doubts hidden even in our hearts to the surface. And Jesus' words of promise are almost drowned out by the tears and the ache of grief. But the most difficult may be the normal days. Most days are just another day to live. Perhaps we're so busy we don't have much time for Jesus. Perhaps we're struggling with family troubles, financial problems, some addiction. Perhaps the days, bring just nothing new, just the same old, same old. So little purpose for life, so little importance for Jesus. So will tomorrow, the day after Easter, or the week after that, or the week after that, the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, will it be any different? Or will they just be another day? Bill Patterson, in an article entitled Resurrection and Pandemonium, remember that word, that's important, an important word, Resurrection and Pandemonium, wrote of a tribe in the jungles of East Asia who were shown a movie about Jesus for the first time. And the people became so caught up in the movie that when Jesus, whom they had seen heal the sick and be adored by children, was beaten by jeering soldiers, the villagers began to shout and demand that the outrage stop. And the missionary who was there had to stop the film and tell them that there was more to the story. So he restarted the movie, but then soon thereafter he had to stop it again because the people were so visibly upset as Jesus hung on the cross, and tell them to wait because there's still more. And once again the movie was started, but this time the scene was the resurrection, and pandemonium broke out. A party erupted. The noise was deafening jubilation. People were dancing and slapping each other on the back. Christ is risen indeed. It was as if they themselves were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection for the first time. Is there some way that we, who have known Jesus for so long, some way that we can capture some of that kind of first-timeness? The Apostle Paul says the resurrection is of first importance, and then he lists those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection the first time. Peter, the apostles, 500 people at one time, James, and then Paul. For those eyewitnesses, Jesus' resurrection was of first importance. The day they saw Jesus was a pandemonious day. But every day that followed was also lived in the power and promise of Jesus. And each day became a day of purpose and hope, a day to stand on that firm foundation of Jesus Christ, a day to return again and again to the heart and core of who they had become and what they would do with their lives. And we can do this too. We may not have seen the risen Lord with our own eyes, but we can, I would suggest that we must, do what Paul did, and what Peter, the disciples, and the 500 who saw Jesus did. They lived 10, 20, 30 years or more, but they didn't just live on a memory of Jesus appearing to them. They came back together again and again to speak and to listen and to be reminded of what was of first importance, to meet the risen Jesus in his word and in his sacrament, and to encourage one another. You know, no one pays much attention to some old television special on the supposed family tomb anymore. Newsweek and the other magazines will be thrown out. But the church will do what it has always done. We will stand together and confess the faith. We will say again that which is of most importance. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. We'll baptize children in the name of our risen Jesus. We'll proclaim the risen Jesus in our sermons. We'll celebrate his resurrection, not just on Easter. We'll celebrate it every Sunday, because that is the Lord's Day. That is the day on which he rose from the dead. And we will gather together because we know that it's here that we meet Jesus in very special ways. Jesus who is risen from the dead. In Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting, The Last Supper, I should have had a picture of it up there so you could have seen it again. Jesus and the disciples are painted in a rather odd way. They're all painted on the other side of the table. Everybody is crowding on the other side of the table. It seems kind of strange. The table's round. Why aren't they sitting on the other side? Why aren't they sitting around the table? Well, Da Vinci did that for a reason. He did it because he wants everyone who looked at the painting to put themselves on this side of the table, joining in the meal, seated across from Jesus. And that's what you'll get to do this morning. And every time you receive the Lord's Supper itself, as you come and receive this bread and wine, you're in the presence of Jesus once again, where he is forgiving your sins and working in your life. So if tomorrow or the next day seems like just another day, think about that gift. Think about the gift that that day can be with Jesus in the center of it. Whether you're at work or school or with your family or in the car or wherever, it's not just another day. It's another day with Jesus, another day that you can celebrate that he made for you. And when you recognize that, each day is a day when Jesus is of first importance. Amen.